Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Riley Friday has returned. Riley Davis, the king, the prince, is here to take us home this week. It's Friday, May 10th on the Sleepers podcast. Riley, how are you?
I'm doing great. Should I continue the weather bit? It's a gloomy day over in Durham, but that's all I'm going to say about it. The weather bit, like many bits, has died, and maybe we should just move past it. But, you know, it's always a good day when I get to come on with some topics. Got some good ones teed up today. Don't want to spoil too much, but one features a guy who shares a name with me. So,
I think I know who we're talking. Whoa,
we might get a little Bluffs Kugel talk later, but
ooh, don't tempt me with a good time. Cart, how are you?
I'm doing good. I think the weather bit took a major hit when it destroyed a city that's so close to Greg's heart. So I don't really want to touch on weather as much. But yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Feeling good. I had one of those moments this morning, though, where I looked at like my just phone, like off wake up, and I was like, damn, it's May 10th already. Like, does that ever, I'm sorry, like that time, like calendar thing just hits me out of nowhere. And I'm like, holy, excuse my language, like this year is already halfway over, damn near.
What day does it feel like it should be, Cart?
I don't know, like.
Like April
late
30th.
Late February, early March.
It feels like late February to you right now.
Nah, it's just going too fast is what I'm trying to get here. It doesn't feel like anything. It's just the year's going fast as hell.
I'm with Card on this one. I feel like it should still be April.
Thank you.
It's been over a month now since we were at the Final Four. Doesn't feel like it was that long ago.
Really doesn't.
Time flies when you're having fun, boys. Is that a thing?
Maybe our new bit should be a calendar bit where we just remark on what day we think it should be.
My next new bit might be get Greg assassinated. Maybe not assassinated, but like something just to make him feel unsafe.
Get me assassinated is wild energy on Friday. Fridays are supposed to be good vibes days.
I don't know. I'm feeling attacked right now in life. I'm putting my defense mechanisms up.
I would hate to see you feel attacked. I would hate to see anybody put anything together that could possibly put you on the defensive. That would be crazy. You mentioned something close to my heart was destroyed. That would be my city earlier this week. That was very sad. Don't you hate when things that are close to my heart get destroyed, Cart? Don't you hate when that happens?
I do hate when that happens, very much so.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Okay. All right. Let's, should we start with the YouTube comment of the day? Da, da, da.
Of course we should. I also want to make it known that there was a couple people who were commenting with insults towards me at the start of their comment in order to get it read. So I'm going to cut that right now. I'm organically picking comments. I'm not going to pick a comment just because you called me wide load, but for who did call me that, that's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. Let's see here. A lot of comments about our Indiana-Purdue exercise, which is good because we were trying to, you know, get to the bottom of that. Let's go with this one from Brad Prather. Thanks for giving the Boilers motivation and dismissing one of the deepest benches in the country. Last year, you guys constantly picked our opponents to win because of guard play every time we played against other top 25 teams. Smith and Lawyer would then outplay and outperform said guards every time. TKR, Smith, Lawyer, First, Heidi, and Berg all returning and we add more athletic talent than Painter's ever had team-wide. TKR, First, Berg can platoon the five depending upon matchups. Harris, Jacobson, Catchings, and Benter, severely underrated three-stars, should be four-stars, all bring shooting and rim attacking abilities. I understand that on paper, IU has brought a good team, but I'm looking at coaching and culture. There isn't a new thing where IU suddenly has five-star talent and they consistently have had five-star players and still manage to underperform year after year. Couple things I'd like to touch on that I understand. And one, I don't know if we just like all the time picked against Purdue because of guard play. I feel like we're pretty high on Purdue and what they could do and, you know, impact they could make. I feel like that was more of a national narrative. But I'll say this. A lot of Purdue fans just like throwing Will Berg into like rotations like he's a guy, and that really confuses me. And the thing that stems from the exercise yesterday is we're doing just head-to-head player comparisons, and obviously IU's going to have a bit of a advantage in that situation because there's no coaching involved in that. There's no culture or class involved in that, which Purdue loves so much. And then also, like, the fact of the matter is Purdue was so good last year that there was a lot of guys who were good players who I think are going to be good players that did not play a lot of basketball, right? So we really don't know what that player is going to look like. Like, we all assume Cam Heidi, Colvin, and all these guys are going to make jumps. I'm of that camp too. I think they're going to be there. I think they are good. But on the other hand, I have seen some of these IU players, granted, whether it's for a good basketball team, bad basketball team, whatever you want to say, put up stats and play. So like you can't just dismiss that as a whole. So everyone needs to calm down. That's what I'm kind of getting at.
We got what we deserved doing this topic, but like, I mean, we like stuff like this, right? I think it's interesting because this came from us doing Michigan, Michigan State, our teams the day before. We were like, oh, these are very similar in caliber. It's a fun conversation. Let's do the other rivalry that has very similar in caliber rosters right now. And I think we specifically called out a lot of the complaints or the rebuttals to us of like, hey, this exercise doesn't factor in coaching. We're just talking about the players on the roster. And if it did factor in coaching, what would it look like? So, what are you like?
Oh, no, Gregory.
What?
Did you guys freeze?
Carter?
Oh, no.
Riley, can you hear me?
Oh, no. You guys are both frozen. Wait, you're back now.
Boys, are we alive?
I'm here. Can y'all hear me?
I got you now.
I don't know what happened there. You were both frozen for me. I think we were all frozen for each other. But, Carl, what were you smiling about before we all froze?
I'll text you what I was smiling about. I can't say it.
Okay. Yeah, I just think we called out the things people are criticizing for us about in the Purdue, Indiana. And for the record, Mike Woodson's 3-3 against three of Matt Painter's best teams head to head. So just want to get that out there.
That's the thing they like to forget.
Huh. Okay. Let's get to the Discord comments today. Card, how you feeling right now?
I'm feeling all right.
Feeling okay?
Yeah, I'm feeling all right.
Okay, that's good. I got to scroll up here. Riley, are you ever going to join the Discord? What's your Discord update these days?
I said that I would join if Michigan State signs a second center.
Oh, yeah. Forgot.
Not a second center. We don't even need a second center. I just need another transfer besides Frankie Fiddler. That's what I told Dylan Terpstra.
Well, it looks like we're not getting Riley this year.
Yeah, seems like that's not going to happen. Okay. I'm pulling a Carter right now with the does. I don't know where we left off. Probably with the upset. I think that was the comment yesterday. So we start today's Discord comments with Guy, who says, did you know that Buffalo, 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 Buffalo is grammatically a correct sentence?
I guess I know that now.
Hoop says, did G Deli just admit that he might be wrong on Indiana? We may be enemies, but you got to stand behind your convictions, base in your voice. Yeah, I think I've been pretty convicted in my Indiana takes. Riley, more importantly, do you like the nickname G Deli for me?
I think G Deli's kind of fire.
I don't hate it. Cart, your thoughts?
I don't think that you're special enough in a deli to earn that nickname.
It does sound like something that would be more reserved for you if you were Italian or like from the Northeast.
Yeah, or like, you don't really freak your subs. Your subs are kind of just like copy and paste type sandwich subs. I feel like if you're getting the deli nickname, you got to go in there and you got to like make a scene on your sandwich.
That's actually a very fair criticism. Also, copy and paste sandwich guy is an all-timer insult. You should pocket that for the future.
Little bit.
But I do think you're underestimating my deli ability to go in and like house an entire tray of breadsticks.
Red sticks.
Yeah, that's see, you don't know my deli, Frandor
I
Deli.
think sounds like you're getting delis confused with Olive Garden.
Nah, pan pizza and sticks at the Frandor Deli, which is now extinct.
Frandor Deli's not a really a deli though.
Well, I mean, by definition, Frandor Deli is a deli.
I mean, it's got deli in the name, but nothing about Frandor Deli is really a
Well,
deli.
they had deli sandwiches. It was absolutely a deli. Fresh made every day, every lunchtime.
Every lunchtime.
25-cent pizza slices, Cart. Don't hate. Mono CBB says in the Goodman interview, Coleman said he should have entered the portal last year so he could eventually negotiate a bigger bag with Illinois. Is it a possibility that this is what he's doing this year, despite saying he played his last game for Illinois? Quick commentary from me. Typically, people who love their situation and want to stay in their situation, what they do is intentionally do actions to make it seem like you don't want to be there so you can get more money to stay there. That's a thing that people who love their situations do all the time, I'm sure. Riley, do you think that's what's happening here?
No, I don't. I think Coleman's probably coming back to school and will be playing at a new school. And that might tie into two topics, so let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Eric NJ Boiler says the way too early top 10 was interesting, but with 6 months before games actually starting, I'm sure you'll revisit this at least six more times. Is it possible that next year's Purdue squad will fall into the Bill Simmons Ewing theory? Carter, could that happen post Edie?
I don't know what the Bill Simmons Ewing theory is.
The Bill Simmons Ewing theory is that when Patrick Ewing was not available for the Knicks got better. Lose their best player. Somehow that gives the effect that the team is going to get better.
I don't know. I don't think that. I don't see that being a thing. I think they could be different. I think they could still be really, really good. Not, I don't know about better though.
Okay. I think, for example, it doesn't always have to apply to the best player, although that's how it originated. But like you could apply the Ewing theory to AJ Hogard leaves and a worse player is now your point guard, but the team gets better. That's the Ewing theory as well.
Okay. Yeah. I hope that happens with Michigan State, but no, I don't see that happening with Purdue.
Okay. Riley, you are familiar with the Ewing theory. That's because Caleb Love left and you got better.
Did
Do
they
you
get better?
believe that it's real?
I guess so. I don't know. A lot goes into it from on-court fit to off-court personalities to everything in between. So yeah, I think there's something to be said about it, but I don't think Purdue has it. I mean, I think there's literally a 0% chance of a Ewing theory for Purdue.
Okay.
And can I even every team that's coming off a Final Four run or has a good year is like, oh yeah, our bench is gonna be what propels us next year. Like no one's talking about bench right now. We're all trying to fill out our rosters. So
Makes sense.
think about it a
Okay.
little bit.
Wait, Greg, I just want to let it be known. Mr. Ewing has won Naismith Award. While Zach Edey has two.
Wow, that's actually a great stat. Good pull from you. D Terp, Dylan Terpstra says, shout out to you guys. You've been helping me get through my landscaping work days. Shout out to you, D Terp, doing the real work out there. Landscaping, it's difficult work. He also says, the recent segment inspired me and I wanted to share my way too early top 10. D Terp's been doing a lot of the graphics on social over the offseason. He makes really good stuff. Go follow him. His way too early top 10 is Kansas, UConn, Iowa State, Baylor, Gonzaga, North Carolina, Houston, Duke, Alabama, Purdue, with Arizona, Marquette, and Texas as honorable mentions. Riley, any major gripes with D Terp's top 10?
Did he have UNC sixth?
He has UNC sixth.
Not with the way it's currently constructed. Marquette on the honorable mention. I feel like they need to add something. I get Cam Jones is great, but I don't know. I probably have them more in the 20 to 25 range. Can you read it one more time? It was
Kansas, UConn, Iowa State at 3, Baylor, Gonzaga, North Carolina, Houston, Duke, Alabama, Purdue.
Love the top five. I'd probably move. Well, I don't know if Alabama's getting Mark Sears back. So maybe that's appropriate for them to stay at 9 right now. I think that's a pretty big assumption. Like, I think Sears could be like a late first round, early second round pick. So yeah, we'll see. There's a lot of Alabama hype right now. That's a little unfounded. And that's only partially stemming from my frustration that they got Big Cliff and my Tar Heels did not.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts right now. Doctor with the next one. He says, who delivers the most Gatorades out of all the bench warmers in the Big Ten next year? Gabe Cupps has to be the leader in the clubhouse for that. Cart, what do you think?
See, the thing is, Gabe Cupps isn't an end-of-the-bench guy. Like, he's a bench guy, but he's, like, in the mix. Usually the Gatorade guys are the very end-of-the-bench fellas. I'd look for somebody from another team like Wisconsin to be in the running for that. But yeah, I'm not sure if Jace is on Michigan. Maybe that's his role next season.
Yeah, Dusty might put him to work at practice on Gatorade times. That would be a good use of that for sure. I still think it's Cardio Cups. He goes above and beyond. He leaves it all out there. Malik is here. He says, why does Carter dislike Jace Richardson so much? There has to be a reason. He's way better than Cheddar Bob.
Is he referring to Jace Richardson better than Jeremy Fears?
I think I get what you're saying. I think Cheddar means Will Cheddar here.
Oh, well, wow. That's just a weird that's a weird comparison though. Like, why are we comparing?
It's from our exercise the other day where we went 1 through 10, and the 10th guy was Jace Richardson and Will Cheddar.
All right, God, we're not doing that exercise anymore. We're really not, because it's picking at the time. If we're doing projecting, then it's a whole different exercise. But the fact is, you pick in guys who have played college basketball, guys who have done things at the college basketball level versus guys who haven't done it. It's just like, it's doing a lot of projecting, and like, you can do that. But once you start projecting with those guys, then I think it sets a precedent for the whole argument as a whole. I have no problems with Jace Richardson. I think Jace Richardson is good. I said one thing about Jace Richardson being maybe a little bit more highly rated than he should have been, and it spiraled out of control from there. I think Jace Richardson will contribute to Michigan State basketball in his time there.
I would really want Jace Richardson in my program, for the record. So I think, yeah, you had one negative comment, like you said, that wasn't even overly negative, and people are holding that over your head. Malik also says, I think ahead of their time is applied to a lot of people, like inventors, creators, and builders. Someone who is doing things that are now the norm but weren't back then. Riley, how many inventors do you know?
Tycho Brahe, Albert Einstein, Thomas Edison.
Like, personally, though.
Johann Tesla.
You don't know an inventor.
Why do I feel like you had a family member or like a second cousin that was like maybe not the main person, but they were part of like a Shark Tank pitch?
I'm sure I do somewhere. That sounds very familiar as you're saying it. Yeah. I can keep going naming historical inventors, big inventor guy, but yeah, I got to do some thinking on if I know any inventors personally.
Greg, you know any?
No, that was my point. I wasn't expecting Riley to rattle off 17 inventors. None of us know any inventors.
I do know one. I don't know if it constitutes as an inventor, but like
Zell? Zell?
No, I wouldn't even call Zell an inventor. I think he's just an artist. But like, one of my boys has like a patented like product, so I feel like that's kind of like an inventor type thing. And it's like something to clear out. It's like a tool to clear out gutters. It's actually pretty interesting. He just got the patent on it like probably a couple months ago, and I think he's like sold a good amount of them. So I guess I can call him an inventor.
Okay, I mean, yeah. You do know an inventor. That's impressive. I don't know an inventor. So that was my angle here, was Malik talking about.
You should be one. I'm surprised you're not an inventor of something.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's a task for me this offseason. Malik also says, Carter said that he was in contact with the Fears family and that JFJ wasn't happy with the bigs. Greg, can you ask your close friend if you can read them? I'm having some worries. Do you want to provide any update on how the Fears family may feel about Michigan State's front court?
Nah, because I don't know. I really don't know anything about it, to be honest. We might need to kill the JFJ thing. I don't like that.
Yeah, we don't want like JF acronyms for probably not.
Yeah.
And then Malik with a congratulations to Derek. Derek won our game. We did basically predict the teams of the players from the Big Ten draft that we did. We had 16 of them. Derek got 14 out of 16 correct. Nobody could have predicted two Northwestern players from Cartel. That was the big curveball. So $100 going out to Derek. These are the perks that you get if you join the Discord. You get to do fun little games every couple of weeks with us there. Fam is here to save the show. He says, in the spirit of the week's running theme that hashtag cart lies, for Riley, how often do you throw in white lies on a weekly basis? Are they really all that bad? And then same question for Greg. I'm hashtag sick of watching my guy Kark get called out publicly. Riley, how much do you lie?
That's a good question. I mean, I definitely embellish stories, maybe fudge a detail here or there. Try to limit it to that. Nothing more serious than that. If it makes for a good story or a good joke, then I'm always pro embellishing, when really I guess that's what a nice way of saying I'm pro line, if it makes a story better.
I love the phrase fudge a detail.
Like, come on, the estate sale story was pretty good.
But like, that's
funny. The funny part about that story is that I took a part of it and I embellished the whole story, but there is some truth to the story. Like, there was an estate sale. Like, I was driving home and there was a sign to go to an estate sale. And I had the thought in my head, like, damn, I do want to stop by that. But also, I was like, damn, I'm kind of hungry. So I went home.
Yeah, hey, but like, we all are out here trying to create content. We all know what it takes to, like, whether it's writing, whether it's video, whether it's audio. We've all done that before. It's called creative licensing. I might make fun of Carter for it, and I probably will continue to, because I think his embellishing, his lies are a little more, he prolongs them. He lets them ride a little bit longer, whereas I can't really hide it. I mean, I wear my emotions on my face, hence last week when Greg immediately knew that Carter and I had something planned because I couldn't stop smiling before the deep voice and weather bit. But yeah, I think that's why we give Carter, you know, why we let him hear it, but we all do it.
There's just a difference between embellishing and truly lying. Like, we need to define the line there. Like, embellishing the estate sale story would have been like, oh, I was driving home and I saw this massive sale. Like, they had this type of thing out. It looked like they were selling hot dogs. That would be embellishing. A complete lie is I got out of my car and stopped there and then bought not one, but two different things. And here's the backstory of these two different things and what they look like. Like, that is a lie.
And they're upstairs was the best part of the lie.
Unbelievable.
Like, Carter's got a 4-story house that you just didn't know about. secret.
listen, I do plan on, not sure when I'm going to start it, but I'm going to give it a go. Like, you know how there's that TikTok trend going around, the 75 hard? I'm going to do a 75 hard or just not lying. I don't know when I'm going to start.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie and or embellish for 75 days straight, and I'm just going to see if my life improves.
I don't even want that to happen. Like, I want you to be you.
It's going to happen.
That's the greatest lie you've told recently. I would say I lie twice a week.
Twice?
I lie about twice a week, yeah.
Do you like catching people in lies?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just the body language PhD going to work, though. Like, when you're lying, that's my body language radar going off.
Yeah. I don't have body language PhD. I don't know if Steve Manchu listens to this podcast, but I shared his location with myself to catch him in lies because he's the biggest liar I know. And he does. I don't think he knows that I have his location on. So I'll be like, yeah, Steve, what are you up to? Like, what are you doing? Like, yeah, I'm at home. Like, no, you're not.
That's hilarious. Okay, moving on. Doctor says, what's your most creative way to deal with scam calls, Riley?
Oh, man. I mean, I do like to, I don't really have anything creative. But sometimes I respond to people who, you know, you get those text messages that say, like, I'm trying to sell my house, or are you trying to sell this house? I feel like the most entertaining, they're the most like creative I get is saying, yes, my asking price is $1 million, which is probably corny. So I know there's a listener who thinks I'm corny. There's some more ammo for you.
All right, you got a good one?
Not necessarily. I do deal with a lot of like those calls just because of the line of work that I'm in. So I'm pretty good about honestly just hitting that, like, I'm busy right now, this isn't a good time for me, and hoping there's no follow-up. I do love the new iPhone feature though, that is like spam risk, like when the phone call comes in. That's an amazing feature. I don't even know when they implemented that, but like I really, really enjoy that feature.
Yeah, as evidenced by your thoughts earlier this week on the Lions prank calls during the draft, I feel like you're not a big scam call guy. Like you're just, you're about your business. You don't want to mess with anybody. You don't want to waste your time. Just hang up the phone and keep your day moving.
Hey, I got a certain amount of hours in the day, and I got a lot of stuff going on. I got to make it happen.
Yeah, you got things to do, lies to tell, et cetera. I actually do like messing with scam callers. One of my go-tos will be like, I'll answer and act extremely interested in whatever they're saying. And then after about 10 seconds, I'll be like, oh, sorry. Actually, my wife handles that. Let me hand the phone to her. And then I like make them wait 20 seconds pretending I'm putting my wife on. And then I like come back on and just keep pulling that trick repeatedly. Like, oh, let me hand the phone to somebody else. They have to do that for me. And then just keep it for like 3 minutes. I also, this is different than a scam call, but I used to prank call people in college with a friend of mine. Shout out to Eric Frazier. Funniest person I've ever met. And we used to call local businesses and pretend we were an employee that worked there and put in our 2 weeks notice. But like we would give the name of someone that doesn't work there. And it was always the funniest reaction ever because people would like take it very seriously and then be very confused on who you are. And sometimes get very upset. It was a fun time. Okay. Regress says, happy Riley Friday. Question for Riley. Do you think Judas was tampered with, and did he misplay his hand by not holding out for a bigger NIL bag? Feels like 30 pieces of silver was way under market value for his numbers.
I think the Sanhedrin was definitely tampering with Judas. Like, you can't tell me you see this dude with Jesus day in, day out, and you're still like, come on, if anybody is going to not have to really have any transfer portal attrition, it's Jesus. So yeah, there was definitely some tampering going on the Sanhedrin side. As far as could he have gotten a bigger bag, that's where I feel a little too sacrilegious continuing that joke, but.
So is this, like, I won't pose this to Riley for the sacrilegion piece of this, but I will pose it to Carter. Carter, do you think this is just a case of Jesus being poor?
Good Lord, I don't even feel comfortable answering that one.
Well, is this like a get your silver up Jesus moment?
You know what? For the point that I do not want my aunt, a specific aunt, to hear this episode, I'm going to refrain from answering that question.
Jesus and Bill Self go head to head for AJ Store. Who wins?
Bill Self.
Riley?
I feel like I got to go with Jesus.
I my gut was saying Jesus, but I don't know. Doctor says, have you guys heard of JJ Metz, the 13-year-old insider for FAU? Super cool to see independent sources growing and killing it in the scoops game at such a young age as well. Can you enlighten us on how essential his impact is on the college basketball world? Carter, how essential is JJ Metz, Florida Atlantic insider?
Yeah, so I actually just recently became a follower of JJ on Twitter. I'm not really familiar with his background before. I think you're a little bit more familiar with him. I believe he was like a very young credentialed member at the Final Four on Florida Atlantic's run. Wasn't that kind of, and that was kind of the story around it. Isn't that who he is?
Yeah, prodigy, media prodigy. I think the youngest credentialed media member in NCAA history for an event like that.
That's crazy. I respect that. That's great. Also, at the same time, I can't believe I was in the rafters while JJ Metz was credentialed. That's crazy. He might have to be my op.
Anyone associated with Florida Atlantic is technically an op for me. Yeah, credit to him. He's a really hardworking kid from what I've seen. I don't even want to call him a kid because I feel like that's disrespectful to the person that the media member JJ Metz is and is working to be. The only thing JJ Metz and I had a source off recently, and he did follow me and message me about it. I did not respond to him because I didn't feel like getting in a massive source off with him. But he reported that John L. Davis was visiting Michigan, and my reports tell me John L. Davis did not visit Michigan. So again, not going to fight JJ over that. But that's my dealings with him. Great kid, great reporter. Dreadhead Dev Royal to King says Caleb Williams' son or Jared McCain daughter.
Wait, you said what?
Dreadhead Dev Royal to King says Caleb Williams' son or Jared McCain daughter.
Either or, both of them are first round draft picks.
I don't understand the comment. Yeah, I don't understand the comment. Guy says, I think the Jared McCain hate is overblown. He's a really talented singer. I want his genes.
Hey, I would not mind being Jared McCain. He's got an extremely large bag. He can hoop, and he's going to be an NBA player. Anyone who doesn't want to be Jared McCain, I mean, I guess respect to you, but like, I definitely wouldn't mind being that. This is probably around the whole nail painting thing and the TikToking thing, which is just like, you just got to get over it. Like, the younger kids nowadays want to paint their nails, and that is what it is. You ain't got to paint yours. The greatest thing that people can do with this exercise is realize that like your nails are your nails and other people's nails are other people's nails. Like the part that really, I'm sorry, this irks me. I've been waiting to say this for like a minute. It is literally so annoying, like so annoying that the part of that like hate comes from like, oh, like, why are you painting your nails like that? Why are you painting your nails like that? When the real weird part is that you as another man are concerned about another man's nails. That's like the weird behavior to me. Like, who cares? Why are you concerned about other people's nails? It's
Yeah,
odd.
it is crazy. It kind of goes back to our long-standing thing of like it's very easy to just be a kind person. Like you,
And like with Caleb Williams, it wasn't even the nail part. The part that I was giving him crap for was the part that he wrote F Utah on his nails and then lost to Utah. That's the part that killed me. I didn't care about him painting the nails. Just don't go out there paint them, say you're gonna beat a team, then don't beat them. Looks bad.
for sure. Yeah, I completely agree with you there. I have no additional commentary on that. I would like to sh put a little spotlight on the singer, by the way. The girl that sings the 3 Days Into College song. Have you guys ever actually like looked at her Instagram and seen other songs that she writes?
Yeah, she's good.
This woman's a prodigy. She's putting out like a new song from her dorm every single day, and they're all incredible. I highly recommend going to see them. I get like some Taylor Swift songwriting vibes from her. It's really impressive. Coop says, I did not have Carter defends the New York floppers on my bingo card. After all the shade thrown at Purdue for foul grifting, I figured you guys would hate this Knicks team. That's actually fair pushback, Carter. We did make fun of Purdue for flopping much throughout the season. But you have no issues with the Knicks flopping?
I do have issues with the Knicks flopping. I don't
Oh.
like flopping.
Okay.
Yeah, I also my issue comes more so from players that I think aren't that great and using flopping to just cover up for the fact that they're not that good.
Got it. Riley, just quick thoughts on flopping in general. Are you anti-flopping or some people are pro-flopping? It's like that's a good way to draw fouls.
I'm kind of indifferent to it. You got to get whatever competitive advantage you can get. It doesn't bother me too much. I'm not really the type to go around and say like, "Oh, this is annoying that he flops." I got some floppers on my favorite team, so I feel like I got to at least be indifferent to it.
Yeah. Guy says, here's his preseason top 10, and he would like us to read from 10 to 1. Number 10, Texas Agricultural and Mechanical. And then parentheses, Wade Taylor IV is staying right. 9, Providence. 8, Florida. This is serious, by the way. Texas A&M, Providence, and Florida are in guys' top 10. North Carolina 7, Gonzaga 6, Houston 5, Kansas 4, UConn 3, Baylor 2, Iowa State 1. Because Iowa State is the number one team in the country. Riley, your thoughts?
Was Kansas mentioned?
Kansas was fourth.
Okay. Providence, anywhere with like near the top 10 is egregious. Guy texted me like 3 or 4 days ago and said, be honest, do you regret getting Hubert Davis instead of a Kim English type? And I said, at least use a team that's like a coach that's made an NCAA tournament before if you're going to make me consider these hypotheticals. Like this, I don't think Guy is sane. I don't think his high major bit proves his sanity. What is it? Like, Providence has had some nice additions. I'm sure they'll be fine. But he's also putting a lot of stock into Wesley Cardet, a Chicago State transfer. They do have a guy named Christ. I never bet against those type of fellas. But, yeah, this team is a long way away from the top 25, much less the top 10. Also, Texas A&M sucks.
Yeah, that's about where I'm at. Let's just move on. Coop says, question for Riley. What's a take that you disagree with the most from Carter and Gregatron?
That Elliot Cadeau stinks. That's my main one with Greg. Let's see. What Carter and I are usually on the same page. We gravitate toward the same type of player archetype. If you are a tweener forward who doesn't have a jump shot, but occasionally you do and you play for Texas, we're going to be huge fans. I think that's probably the biggest example. Yeah, usually Carter and I tend to, like, when we do those game previews and recaps, I feel like we agree too much.
Yeah, we're pretty in lockstep with that usually. I don't really know if we've ever had like a massive disagreement.
Yeah, we'll see.
Maybe Armando. You were a little bit higher on Mondo than I was.
True. Carter's a lot you're a lot harsher on Mondo. I feel like there's probably more with Greg. Oh, the Creighton takes. Y'all were gassing up Creighton for a long time and wouldn't. I was out on Creighton probably by January of last year. I guess they still made the second weekend. So, you know, you could say that's bad by me. But as far as a national title contender, I just could never get there with them.
Yeah, I would say you were right in hindsight. Yeah, you two always kumbaya. Best friends always agree. We'll see if that continues going forward. Malik Perry says, this is for Riley. Are you on the Purdue train as well, or are you more optimistic? And then, do you like dry wine?
Love dry wine. I'm a big Cab Sauv guy. That's like mainly what's in my rotation when I consume some wine. But as far as like, what's the Purdue train, that they're better than Indiana? Or like, I haven't watched the most recent episode yet.
I have them in my top 10. I have them 8th preseason, one spot ahead of Indiana.
I mean, honestly, I haven't even made a top 10 yet. Purdue will probably be right around that, like, I guess somewhere like 10 to 12 range for me. It just goes down to, like, they are, even if these guys showed in flashes last year, you're still going to be relying on either Colvin or Heidi for, like, what, 25 to 30 minutes a game. And I like those guys' upside a lot, but I don't know. It's just, how bad Fletcher Loyer was in the Final Four really threw me off too, to where if he's like the second option, I'm a little bit worried about that too.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's fair. I won't fight it. I've been doing all my Purdue praise for too long. Malik has more. Which main cookout barbecue food would you choose? Fish, chicken, steak, or pork ribs? And what sides and drink? I feel like Malik does this like once every 2 weeks to us. Riley, what do you got?
I think those pork ribs are calling my name. Ribs on the grill are tough to beat. As far as sides, mac and cheese, assuming someone's bringing that. I love some coleslaw, but that's really kind of the only like cold dish that I'd be dipping into. Like, not a potato salad guy, not a pasta salad guy. Are there any other of those like type of salads that people bring?
Usually there's like some fruit available or just like a normal salad.
I'm good with both of those, just not like pasta or potato. Skip that every time.
Yeah. I'm with you on the pork ribs part. Mainly, shout out to my boy Trav Allen. His pops, Big Rob, his ribs are like impeccable. He like makes his own sauce. He like spends like a week prepping for them. Best ribs I've ever tasted in my life. And then he has an Aunt Minnie, who's like 90 years old and is sharp as a tack still and just like the funniest lady. I'm not a potato salad guy, but when she makes potato salad, I'm getting a separate bowl of that potato salad. It's that good. But yeah, pork ribs, mac and cheese, you got to have. If there's some chicken, I'll definitely throw some chicken on there, maybe pulled pork too. I don't know how the barbecue's going. But yeah, if you have the chance to get some good barbecue pork ribs, I'm not even a pork guy like that. You got to tap into those. They're too good.
I'm going to spare everyone my answers from this. I think that's in the best interest of the listeners at home. Malik says, watching Carter make rosters is like watching kids play. They don't know what they're doing, but they think they do, except kids actually have fun. Any comment card?
The thing is, I don't think I know what I'm doing. That's the only part I push back on.
I feel like you have fun too.
I did not. I had no fun doing that Big Ten player draft.
That's unfortunate.
I
And then
hated my team immediately.
Malik says, Greg, you said you don't like sauces, but you like pasta. How does that work since the other day you chose barbecue sauce and not pasta sauce? I don't think I chose barbecue sauce and not pasta sauce. I like pasta sauce more. I just don't want pasta like drenched. It's got to be like the right ratio. That's all I would say. I'm never like, I want more sauce of anything. Sorry. He says, I was throwing shots at Brad Underwood. I was making fun of how you guys refer to him as Daddy Brad, aka Bad Dad. There's no team I don't dislike, which feels weird. I need fire and passion to destroy a team that everyone dislikes. Malik, you're generational. Braden Shrewsbury says, this big house discussion about live games made me think about the game that I saw in person that made me fall in love with college basketball. Mine being the Thomas walk-up game versus West Virginia and the Notre Dame game versus Michigan in 2016, back to back. What games did that for you guys? What games made you fall in love with college basketball? Riley, you want to go first?
I'm actually going to get out of lockstep with Carter on this one and take a shot at his team. Fall of 2013, Marcus Paige and the Tar Heels came to the Breslin Center, ACC Big Ten Challenge, pulled the upset over probably, what was it, like second ranked, third ranked Michigan State? And that was just one of those moments where I was like, oh, I think I made the right decision coming to this school.
Good call on that one. Actually, mine's somewhat in lockstep with you because my season ended with your Tar Heels basically just absolutely demolishing my Spartans in the championship game. But that team and that run for me was just like it solidified everything about my Michigan State like basketball fandom for me. Just like freshman Draymond Green, Kalen Lucas, like all those guys, and Kalen Lucas and those guys went to high school in my area, so like I got to watch them play Country Day a couple times. They always hosted like a one of those like holiday tournaments for high school teams, and it was like St. Mary's and Pershing, Saginaw Arthur Hill, all those guys, and it was Kalen Lucas and Deion Sims, who was played basketball or played football at Michigan State, I believe. Those dudes are just so good. And then like once he went to Michigan State, I kind of just like followed them and Draymond and all those guys. But yeah, that whole run was just so much fun. The and one against Kansas that Kalen Lucas had, where like he got in the corner and he kind of watched it drop in, then went for the low five with Allen. That was generational for me for learning how to celebrate getting a bucket.
That's nice. I have three very disconnected sporadic games. First one was the Illinois comeback against Arizona in the Elite Eight. The D. Brown Luther Head, in my opinion, the greatest comeback in college basketball history. That was like my first team that I absolutely loved the players of and the vibes, the aesthetic, D. Brown and the headband. I loved those orange Illinois jerseys. I can't believe they don't just wear those every single year as their default jerseys, but that team was incredible. And then a couple years later, the Mario Chalmers national title game. That was when I really got like into brackets because I had picked Kansas over Memphis in my bracket challenge, and I won like $500 if they won that game. And obviously, it was very dire. Looked like Memphis was going to win. Mario Chalmers saves the day. I was like, "Oh, brackets are the best. This is great." And then cemented it firmly. I was at this game, the Gordon Hayward heave against Duke in the national title. That was the first Final Four I had been to. And I think I've said it before. I was sitting behind the bucket. From my vantage point, it looked like it was going in. Just the magic of that ball being in the air and like, oh my God, everyone's fate depends on this was the coolest, most chills I've ever gotten at a sporting event. Okay, Hurley Swagger. Happy Riley Friday to you and yours. While a great team has a combination of great players and a great coach, I'm a firm believer that a great coach is the most important. Do you agree? And regardless, who are some coaches that you believe in completely and some that you don't? Riley, why don't you go first?
Yeah, I think even going back to like when I first got into this space, amateurhourhoops.blogspot.com, if anybody wants to read the old blog from Bluffs when I was nice with the pen. I've always thought in college basketball, coaches matter more than any other sport. It just seemed maybe part of that's narrative driven when you look at the legends like Roy, K, Izzo, et cetera, that those for years, really up until the past, what, 4 or 5 years, those faces drove the sport. And it seemed like for our formative years, it didn't matter what guys were on that roster. Year in, year out, you could trust the player development. I think NIL and the portal has shifted that to where coaching carries less weight than it used to, because if you got good NIL deals and, you know, good boosters and everything, you can build a really solid roster. However, I think it still think it matters a ton once you get into tournament time and adjusting to matchups. I mean, the obvious choice for like coaches who you trust, regardless of who's on the roster, is Danny Hurley right now and Bill Self. I don't know, guys who I need to see more from. Andy Enfield strikes me as like that. Maybe that's a random one, but it's maybe because it's on my mind because he's coming to my conference. But it's like year after year, he adds dudes who are sort of fun. But aside from the Evan Mobley year, hasn't really done much with it.
Yeah, that's a pretty good shot about how it's, you know, obviously coaching just in college, like especially the tournament when it's just like you could be playing in two teams in one weekend. Like you got to be able to adjust about. And, you know, you look to who was in the championship game this year. It was Peyton Hurley, like two great college basketball coaches who, you know, we consider in that category. I like the Hurley shout. I like the Self shout. I put Samson in that fold too. I don't care. I think no matter who's on Houston's team, it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to ride with Houston just because I believe in Samson. So I would throw him in that category as well. And then you have the other guys who are pretty close to that. Like I'm a big Scott Drew guy. And I throw that in there. I'm trying to think.
I would say this is like maybe a little out of left field, but I think Shrews is going to get there. Like you saw how well Notre Dame was playing toward the end of last year with a terrible roster. He might be, you know, one of the more off the beaten path, less obvious picks to get to that point where year in, year out, even if the roster doesn't look great, you expect Shrews to get the most out of his guys.
Yeah. Do you think Few should be in that group?
I think it's tough to it'd be tough to argue against him when you look at his sustained success over like the past quarter decade now.
Yeah. There's not really any coaches that I just like, not necessarily like don't believe in, but I mean, I'm very much going to be under a microscope looking at Woodson this season. I will say that.
I am surprised you guys had that answer as a whole here. I obviously coaching matters. Also players matter. I would say players matter significantly more than coaching. Like a great coach can elevate a program long-term for sure. Matt Painter's been one of the greatest coaches in the sport for 20 years, and the narrative constantly was that Painter was not good enough until it finally happened. Like, why did it happen? Because he had a generational player. He deserves the credit for getting the generational player. But, like, the greatest coaches go through waves of failure in this sport, and it's not like they are bad at coaching when that happens. Like, Kelvin Sampson has, what, one Final Four? We're talking about him like he's absolutely special. He's never won a national title. He's not a Final Four in and out guy. Like it comes down to, do the players make plays? And more often than not, if you have the best players, you will win at the very highest level. Danny Hurley has won the last 2 years because he's had the best players, in my opinion. And now he looks like a man, and he's a great coach. He's a phenomenal coach. Danny Hurley wasn't doing this until he got the best players. So that would be my stance. It's a mix of both for sure. But no, I don't think it's some magical coach comes in and takes less talented teams to winning, and that's more important. Rowlett, Texas Boiler, says, what are your top five rule changes you would make in college basketball today? He has five quick ones. One, coaches review per half. Automatic tech for a coach on the floor during gameplay, no warning. If you dive for a ball once, you have to, if you dive a ball once you have it, you have to move around. I can't follow that one. Number four, if you jump on a player on the floor for a loose ball, it's a foul. Number five, guardrails to limit transfers. Not sure how, but rein in the wild, wild west. Carter, you were laughing. Do you have any rule changes?
No, the only one I would do is, I always say it, but I want six fouls. I don't want five fouls anymore. I want six fouls just to get the whole two auto bench thing out of there. Also, Kelvin Sampson has two Final Fours. Respect my guy.
What was the other one?
2002.
Okay, way back. Indiana days.
Yeah. Yeah, he made one with Indiana, and then he made one, obviously, in 2021, most recent. I still would have made one if Jamal Shedd didn't get hurt this year, but that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, he's great. Don't get me wrong. He's great. But, like, I don't know. The greatest coaches need great players to do what they're doing. I stand by that. Riley, any rule changes?
Yeah, I think there should be a bigger penalty if you catch the ball in the corner or anywhere in that vicinity and you step out of bounds, like before you either shoot or drive. That drives me crazy when players do that. Like,
Like it,
be
they should
more
treat
aware of your surroundings.
they should treat it as a take foul. Like the other team gets a one shot technical if you do this
Yes,
out of bounds off a
yes.
pump fake.
Or I'm like, is there a way that you can, like, you. Like, how can you simulate a run out where one team should get an opportunity for like a live ball turnover if you step out of bounds? Because that's one of the most egregious turnovers you can commit.
Agreed. It's a good one. I only have two rule changes I really care about. I want six fouls instead of five. Shout out Graham Couch. He's been pushing this for years, and I completely agree with it. We need the best players on the court, not off the court. Give them six fouls. And then two, I would like to see timeouts advance the ball to the front court. I think that would lead to more buzzer beaters, more iconic moments. It's just higher likelihood that you could potentially tie or win the game if you have the ball in the front court than if you have to go 94 feet. Coop says, last November, Goodman tried to say that talent-wise, Indiana had a better roster than UConn. Don't go full Goodman. I can't verify that take. I think I did the Indiana offseason review with Goodman last year for the Field 68, though, and neither one of us were high on Indiana. So I don't know. I think you can pull out sentences to say people say things when you do this day to day. The narrative certainly last year was not that Goodman loved Indiana's team or roster. He was killing them all offseason. I Maynard says, as it stands today, Kendrick won the internet because he was able to convince everyone Drake is logic. What can I say? He has bigger stands, Mr. Higher Moral Ground, and his big steppers. Cart, your thoughts.
Drake won.
I don't think that's true. Riley, what your thoughts?
Kendrick won, but really through Not Like Us, because he actually made a banger, first banger he made since like the Black Panther soundtrack. But yeah, I still stand with I Maynard on that, where it's fun to make fun of Kendrick for like his moral high ground stances and whatnot, if you want to.
What's the best part about Not Like Us? Is it the beat or the bars?
Both go crazy.
They both, yeah, but I'm saying, which one's better, do you think?
The beat.
Interesting. Wah, wah, wah,
I thought that was fire. I like that line. I
wah.
Maynard says Drake won in the booth by proving his pen is more lethal than dots. Drake has four of the five best verses in this beef in terms of technical rap skill. And J. Cole won in life because he didn't have to tear down black men he considers to be his brothers for our entertainment. He just wanted to keep it rap. I respect it. He knew how low they would go to win. Cart, that seems like two comments you might agree with.
I'm glad we're on the same page that we agree that Drake's black. It's good to know. Doesn't seem to be the narrative.
You think this is over, Cart? Is he done?
No, he's not done. I think we got a two-track EP loading.
But if he won, shouldn't he be done?
Yeah, I mean, but like, if you won, how many po you would you rather win by 20 or win by 5?
By 20. That's a fair point. Your Serbian Boiler says for the Indiana Purdue exercise, I think it only makes sense to rate Indiana higher when so much speculation is necessary for Purdue. The only big change I would make is rating Will Berg higher. I genuinely believe Berg is going to be a problem next year. I don't think his lack of playing time last year was an ability issue. I think Paint was just being loyal to TKR and wanted something different in that second rotation. I could be wrong, but my bold take is that Berg is going to have a massive jump this year. It's certainly possible. I'm not going to say it's impossible for any Purdue players, especially 7'6" dudes or however tall Will Berg is. With that said, I've never seen a player that turned into a great college basketball player need to go fund me a trip overseas, which is what Will Berg just did. He
Cam Heidi did the same thing.
That's crazy to me. What's going on with that, by the way?
I think it's like some. I gotta look into it more, but what I got from it is that it's some opportunity to basically go to Greece, maybe to like participate in like a camp or something like that, and like they can maybe be like a camp counselor while also like going overseas, and they probably get to like work out and do stuff like that.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know how to feel about that. I'm not enthralled that Heidi is doing that.
Yeah, I let me step carefully here, I guess I would say. If Will Berg is serviceable, I will be very much surprised.
I guess that's careful. Toon says it's unreal that I'm name dropping all my exes to the masses. Shout out my exes. Appreciate you. Toon says, I think Indiana has the better players as of the end of last year. Purdue has some unknowns, but as you guys said, Braden would get better post-Edie. I think with more touches, others will too. I think Furstenberg will be better this year with more minutes. What I think narrows this gap is Painter versus Woodson, as stated, but also the fact that both teams need to find their identity. I think Painter will help this team gel better and quicker than Woodson will. I think we are in agreement there. Appreciate that comment. I think that's it for today. 1 to 5 stars. How did the comment section do today, Riley?
2 stars. Way too much Purdue talk. I'm sorry, Purdue fans. It just seems like I get that Sleepers has a Big Ten slant. One day I may join you when Carolina gets out of the poverty ACC. But yeah, it seemed like a lot of the same arguments sort of rehashed. But hey, who am I to judge? You know, you got to talk about your team with somebody. So,
Carter, you famously called out our comment section last week. You said they were not good enough. What do you think they did this week?
Not enough Bluffs related questions for me. I always really like to have at least 3 to 4 Bluffs specific comments mixed in there. And I only remember one. That's not good enough for me. None from fam too.
No, we had one from fam. We had one from regress today.
Which one do we have from fam?
Now I'm already forgetting it, but we definitely had a fam question.
We did. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I needed more. That's not
white lies. White lies. How much do you lie? Yeah.
Okay. See, I need 4 to 5.
Yeah. Okay. Keep them coming, Purdue fans. Hey, this is what you pay to be in the Discord for. You get to do whatever you want, and we have to find ways to deal with it. Here we go. Carter. Actually, no. You know what, Riley? It's time. It's time for the scripture reading of the day.
All right, I got y'all. This today it comes from Psalm 103, one of my my favorite passages in the Bible. This actually goes back to a question last week about, I think, who had the best pen in the Bible, we talked about which Christian, like who's a historically good Christian speaker or writer. David. I'm gonna go to the Bible and say David was one of the best writers who was showcased throughout the canon of scripture. So this comes from Psalm 103, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Sleepers, you have been awakened."
Wow. I love that. Riley, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah, what's up?
Have you ever tapped into like the Bibles that are in hotels?
Like the Gideon's Bibles?
Yeah, they always have one in the nightstand.
Nah, I like usually I this is not to sound holier than thou, but usually I travel with my Bible with me. So
I figured that as much.
Yeah, that's real dedication. Thank you, Riley. Appreciate you. Carter, can you tell the people about our sponsor?
I can't tell the people about our sponsor. Our sponsor is presented by MyBookie. MyBookie is the greatest sports book, in my opinion, on the earth because, one, they make it easy to play your way and get paid, and, two, they're fans of the Sleepers as we are fans of them. And because of that, we have a instant deposit match bonus of up to $1,000 available at MyBookie by using promo code Sleepers. That's promo code Sleepers. Head over to MyBookie. NBA playoffs are in full swing. Jalen Brunson's foul baiting. So is SGA. Maybe go bet they're over on points because they're going to get their stripes have a say in it. But yeah, head over to MyBookie and take advantage of that instant deposit bonus today with promo code Sleepers.
Kurt, when you say our sponsor is presented by MyBookie, do you mean that MyBookie is presented by MyBookie?
Possibly.
You heard the man. Go take advantage of that welcome offer. Link in the description. Let's get to the show. What's topic number one today, Riley?
So first topic, I'm sure we will get no negative pushback on this. It's Riley Kugel candidates. I teased it in the intro. It was going to involve someone with my namesake. It is Riley Kugel. Just decommitted from Kansas, looking like he's either, I guess, headed to Kansas State. That's the speculation, maybe, or maybe some other schools in the mix. But yeah, this is, I just got to preface this by saying we don't have any sourced intel on this. This is not reporting. It is just some reckless speculation like we love doing on this program. But as you survey the transfer landscape, we got a bunch of teams out there who have just added an influx of newcomers through the portal. Who are some guys who you think might end up back on the market when it's all said and done?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Okay, hold on. I love this topic, Riley.
Let me know if you want me to kick it off, because I have one very clear name in mind.
Go ahead. Go ahead
So
and kick
wait,
it off.
just to be clear, we're going guys who may pull a Riley Kugel here.
Correct.
I
Guys who
love
have
this
committed
topic.
to a school already and might back out of that commitment. And it's got to be a transfer.
I love this topic. Okay. Go ahead.
I will kick it off with a player who I believe we all love on this show. It's Big Z, Zvonimir Ivicic. And hear me out on this. This is, I think, my number one Riley Kugel candidate. Arkansas has added a ton of like high level blue chipper type guys. You know, they have two five stars coming in on the wings, Carter Knox and Billy Richmond. They just added a Adoothierro who, I mean, I heard this ad nauseum, a potential 2025 first round draft pick who wants to play the three as well. All three of those guys think they're coming in to play the three. That leads me to believe that Adoothierro will have some overlap at the four, see a good amount of minutes there. Jonas Aidoo is going to be holding down the five for Arkansas. So already off rip, like if Cal's going to be pro nepotism or pro like following through on promises that he makes to families, it's like Carter Knox is going to see a lot of minutes at the three. You know, he has the connection with the Du Thiero's dad. Thiero's dad played for him as well, where he's probably made some promises that he's going to get his minutes probably at the four. Also, that list that Norlander released for Coleman Hawkins included Arkansas on it. So that will even throw another wrench into the works if Hawkins ends up at Arkansas. That's a lot of minutes that for a lot of guys who want to play the three and the four. Big Z might get squeezed out of that rotation if. You know, he's probably thinking that if he's loyal to Cal, he's following him, he's getting 25 minutes a game. Let's keep your eye on Illinois there too, with his twin brother committing to play in Champaign. Like the cards are set up, they're stacking up perfectly for Visich to decide, this isn't really what I want.
I love that shout. The Visage is playing together has to happen at some point. I don't care where. I mean, I'd prefer Illinois, but I don't care where. I want to see it together. I could 100% see that, Riley.
If that does happen, there could be a little domino effect, and my pick would probably be someone from Illinois leaving in regards to Big Z coming to Illinois. But I'll go separate from that. I might come up with a cooler one, because this one's a little bit generic. It's Jalen Blackman at Miami, just because I can't trust anyone with Miami right now. Because if the checks don't cash, or the numbers aren't right, or the commas aren't in the right place, it's a very volatile program, in my opinion, right now. So I think I would go with that shout. And also, like, I still truly believe in my heart of hearts. I don't know if they have enough money to do so, but like, if Indiana really, really wanted him, couldn't they go get him? Like, that's a very high level shooter. They still need shooters. I obviously he probably got a bag from Miami, but I don't know. I would monitor that.
I like that. I think Indiana might be out of money, maybe. People are acting like Indiana might be done now, but we'll see. Yeah, I could definitely see him leaving. I have two. One is like my speculation, and one is semi on record of speculative here. Amari Williams at Kentucky had to be like begged back after they got Brandon Garrison, and I mean, as of right now, we assume he got a raise and he's in. Everything's great, but. It's like pretty on record that like he almost decommitted a week ago. There's a lot of moving parts at Kentucky still. They're adding a lot of guards and wings. They're still after guards and wings, but like, God forbid somehow they add one more front court player. I think there's a guy who has already expressed he wants to leave. And then here's the my speculative one, and it's the same team that Riley did. It's funny that we keep coming back to Calipari rosters. John L. Davis is a weird dude. John L. Davis is a weird dude. He's really private. He does not do a lot publicly or share a lot publicly. Nobody really knows. Like, he didn't graduate at FAU. Nobody knew if he wanted money or to go to the pros. And then he's not even on the NBA combine list. I don't know. Like, it seems like people can't tell what he wants. He signed up to play at Arkansas for Cal for a bunch of money. That's great. Everybody liked the fit. All that's happened since is like Boogie Fland and now DJ Wagner are going to end up at Arkansas. So, like, we know Cal makes promises to freshmen. I would assume Boogie Fland thinks he's starting. I would assume if DJ Wagner's coming to Arkansas, he thinks he's starting the same way he started over Shepherd and Dillingham. That leaves, in my opinion, Jahlil Davis probably to come off the bench behind two players that Jahlil Davis is definitely better than. I don't know if Jahlil cares because nobody seems to know what Jahlil wants, but it's been a mysterious recruitment the entire time with Jahlil. It would not surprise me if there's one more loophole at the end that gets complicated.
I think case in point, someone from Arkansas is going to decommit. I feel very confident calling my shot on that. There's going to be some sort of attrition there because I'm not going to lie. Again, the Coleman Hawkins saga with I really want him to be a Tar Heel. When I saw Arkansas that list, I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Can Cal just chill with this Jerry Jones money? Like, just be content with what you have and go recruit some like mid freshmen. Like, fill out your roster that way. My team needs help right now. But another team that I spotlighted was Ohio State because they have a couple guys who feel a little bit redundant. Maybe that's too harsh because I like Sean Stewart and Aaron Bradshaw a lot. I would take a gamble on both of their upside. And like, I feel pretty sure that one of them will hit and one of them will get closer. Maybe not hit their ceiling, but at least get close to it. But there's also been some Dylan Mitchell rumors to Ohio State as well. And that feels to me like he and Sean Stewart are both just two hyper-athletic guys who can't shoot or at least haven't shown it yet. Bradshaw, I know coming out of high school was like supposed to be his thing was he could shoot a little bit, protect the rim, slide his feet. But yeah, he still feels a little bit redundant as an upside play, and they have Micah Parrish as well, another one of those type of like versatile type wings. It's just it seems to me like someone's going to get unhappy if this all goes according to like Diebler's plan with recruiting.
I could see that too. He has been really positionally clunky in what he's prioritized this offseason at Ohio State. It's kind of strange. You're pretty out on the Buckeyes, right, Cart?
Yeah, I don't really like how we're operating.
Makes sense. Yeah, if we could do like off season, we did like our wildest bold predictions in March, all three of us. That was fun. If we did like our off season version, I would give Riley points for the someone's going to leave Arkansas prediction. That's a fun one. Yeah, that's good. Okay. Let's move on. What do we got for topic two?
Last week, I hit y'all with way too early best front courts in the country. Let's take it to the backcourt this time. Let's talk about guards. Who are y'all especially high on going into the year?
Okay. Did we do like top five or how do we do it? Or did we just like kind of name the best ones?
I think we ended up with the top five last week. We were a little bit like iffy on the order, but we got five that we felt good about.
Yeah, last week we framed it around like is Michigan's top five too. Obviously, we don't need to do that with any specific backcourt here, but let's collectively come up with the top five backcourts. Anybody have a nomination they'd like to start us off with?
Jahlil Davis, Boogie Flynn.
Probably the most talented one right now.
And yeah, I'm trying to
add DJ Wagner to it.
The thing is, like, okay, when we're doing this, how are we doing, like, guys in the draft are coming back? Because, like, if I'm getting Mark Sears back, I don't even care who's at the two. Or, like, if Walter Clayton comes back and, like, we have Walter Clayton Richard or Walter Clayton Elijah Martin, like, how are we operating with that? If they're in the draft, just kind of ignore them?
I would say ignore Sears right now. That's my thought, unless Riley feels different.
No, I agree. I'm looking at Kevin Sweeney's depth chart Google sheet, and if they have a yellow highlight on their name, that means they're still in the draft, and I'm assuming it means that, like, maybe he thinks that they're going to stay in the draft, and Mark Sears is highlighted yellow right now, so I'm taking him out of consideration.
Okay. Let me spitball just the names I think could be considered, and then you guys can prioritize for me here. St. John's, Kadari Richmond, and Davon Smith. Gonzaga, Nembhard, and Hickman. North Carolina, RJ Davis, and I guess by default, Elliot Cadeau. Iowa State, Lipsy and Gilbert. I think Duke, Proctor, and Foster belong on there. I think in theory, Arizona, Caleb Love and Jaden Bradley or KJ Lewis, take your pick there. I would advocate that by default, Braden Smith and someone should be on there. I think if Tyler Kolick was considered that last year, Braden Smith should be up there for next year without Edie. And then it feels weird leaving like UConn out of this potentially, but I don't know who they're going to start at point guard.
I think you have to throw DR and Mahaney in there. I would assume Diarra.
Oh yeah, Diarra
for consideration. Yeah, and I would go with Carter and say Walter Clayton and Elijah Martin considered as well.
Yeah, the only one I'll throw into that is Baylor. So Roach and Roach and Edgecombe, or Roach and Roach and Nunn, Roach and Langston Love. There's some different combinations, I guess, you could throw in there. Is Ashworth and Isaacs good enough to be considered in this one?
Not for
I
me.
I don't think so.
Yeah, not okay. for me. I'm out on Ashworth. I like the Baylor shout. I mean, Kansas, DeJuan Harris, and hit Griffin or Storr.
I think if we extend it to bench guys as well, I mean, that might be a little too complicated, but, you know, Kansas also has Zeke Mayo. UNC Homer pick would have Seth Trimble and Ian Jackson, who you could throw in there. One of those. Oh, and Baylor. Yeah, Baylor has like four dudes who can play the one and the two as well. If you went like the full backcourt of bench players as well, I think those three are a cut above just because of the depth and talent. But we can stick with just the starters for simplicity's sake.
How far down the list do we have to go until Miles Rice and Cannon Carlisle get mentioned, Cart?
There were some ones that you named that I would probably like. I think they're top 15.
Okay. Cam Jones, and do we know what Marquette's doing at the other guard spot?
Would it be Stevie Mitchell
or Sean Jones?
Sean Jones, probably. Cam Jones might be good enough to carry that himself. Cam Jones is so good.
Yeah, Jones too. That's fun.
I did love Sean Jones before he got hurt.
And then I really liked the Jordan Pope to Texas edition. Who would their complimentary guard be?
Ooh, Trey Johnson.
Trey Johnson.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I hate that I did this to you guys. Okay, so we have all the nominees. Do we want to kind of go one by one? What would you pull out of the hat as the best backcourt, Riley?
The ones that I think we were most aligned with were Baylor, Florida, UNC, Arkansas, UConn, and Texas. Did I forget anyone?
Oh.
Or Gonzaga? Do we want to throw Gonzaga in there?
I think Iowa State for me has to be really.
Yeah, I was
going to
say Lipsy and Gilbert for sure. Or Lipsy and Curtis Jones.
And I'm having a hard time skating past St. John's too. I really am, because I think Kadari's that good.
Kadari's that good. I do think Purdue's being overlooked too much because Braden's going to be great. And like I get like Fletch.
You know what?
Had some stinkers down the stretch, but like Fletch still had a good year. Obviously, the tournament and didn't go as well, or at least not in the tournament. The last game didn't go well, but like that court's good.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Carter's completely right here. Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer have won 58 games together. Like I'm not gonna leave them off of this. As crazy as that is, I think Braden's that good. And even if you're really gonna disrespect Fletcher because of one bad game, even though he gave like 27 to Tennessee earlier in the season, like these dudes are winners and they're good.
Yeah, Texas is a top five backcourt too. Because even if it's not Trey Johnson, the other guard is Tremont Mark.
Oh yeah, I really wow.
All right, COVID. So we have. I think we have 10 or 11.
Riley,
Riley,
we're so back, brother. We're so back. We got to get to Texas this year.
So we got 11 candidates who we really like.
All right, let's go. Let's each stack rank, like, who is the number one backcourt in the country? And then we'll kind of just go down until we get to five that we agree on. Who would be your number one backcourt, Riley?
North Carolina.
That's absurd. Carter.
We got the best guard coming back.
You do have the best guard coming
and
back.
And then you have like a top 60 guard alongside him. Like,
60 but ridiculous. Six. Yeah, I agree. 60 is ridiculous.
I understand. But no, yeah, but best is a little bit wild, Riley, I must say. I think that the best backcourt in the country, I would either go Baylor or Gonzaga.
Oh, we have 12 nominations. I forgot about Gonzaga wasn't on my list.
I think I would go Baylor.
I don't think we're going to be able to get to five because I don't know how we come to agreement on this. I think we all have such different answers.
Wait, let's call this, who you have at one, Greg?
I don't know. I don't think it's any of those three though. Like I love Baylor's. I think they're probably top five. I love Gonzaga's. They're probably ahead of Baylor's for me. North Carolina, I think, would be just outside my top five, but
And
I
it
can
is just a
argue.
backcourt. It is just a backcourt exercise too. So like,
Just a backcourt exercise.
just a backcourt exercise. So like, the who cares
I
if the
think
team, who cares if the team stinks?
Iowa State has to be in there.
Yeah, I guess I would fixate on, for my top five, I would fixate on teams that are returning two guys that we feel were really high level. So that would mean Iowa State. That would mean Gonzaga. Like those guys are proven. You know what you're getting. They're
Purdue.
great backcourts. I think Purdue's is up there. And then outside of that, some upside shots I'm fine with. I think North Carolina returns two guys. That's fair. That's kind of where I land on this, more than playing the speculation game with others.
Okay, so like returning guy, like I mean, despite how we feel about Meechie Johnson, like Bruce Thornton and Meechie Johnson's a really productive backcourt.
Yuck.
I'm throwing it out there. I'm on the yuck train with you. I wish that Houston had a better point guard because I would be all in on just like Cryer Sharp. Just I'm just not a Milos
Yeah, same.
Uzan guy.
I mean,
This is tough.
do we feel good about the four I said?
Yes.
So here's the six. Here's the
Well, wait,
six.
no, but if we do that exercise, Greg, then you gotta feel good about Tyrese and Caleb Foster. Are you saying starting backcourt is coming back?
I mean, starting matters more, but because you're projecting with Foster, he doesn't get points for coming back.
Got you.
Okay, so to recap, the ones that keep coming up that meet these criteria: Baylor, Iowa State, Purdue, Gonzaga, UNC, and Texas.
If you just drop Texas, I feel really good about that being a top five. Although we forgot Arkansas.
Yeah, but that has to speculate some on
Yeah,
Boogie
speculate
Fan.
with Boogie though.
And I mean, if they get DJ Wagner, I think he's going to start, and that dings them.
Yeah. What about we do that, but we slide Florida in for Texas? You feel better about Florida, Greg? Clayton and Elijah Martin.
I don't consider Elijah Martin in their backcourt. I think
He
they're.
he's listed in their backcourt on the on Borzello's little thing.
I mean, he's 6'2", so he's going to be listed as a guard. But like Clayton is definitely their two guard, and then to me, they're still looking for a point guard. But
I mean, we landed on five. I just threw Texas in there as the six
yeah,
for the.
what wasn't Clayton their point last year?
Zion Pullen led him in assists.
Oh, okay.
Clayton was the scorer. I mean, it was kind of, they both did, shared everything,
They were just guards.
but like Elijah Martin is like a power forward in a 6'2" body, like,
Yeah, he could.
which can work. He'll be really good. I wouldn't be like, that's their backcourt.
Yeah. There's honestly, looking through this, there's gonna be some good backcourts in the country this year.
Y
It's
year of the
fun. There's a
smalls?
lot
That's a lot of good
it
guards. It is a
might
year of the smalls.
it might be years because like I'm like going through all these teams. I'm just looking through like backcourts that I'm going to like, just in general gonna like. Miami's backcourt I'm gonna like, even though it's a projection play, but like Nigel Pack and Jahlil Bethea could be an incredible backcourt. Xavier's backcourt, they have McKnight returning, and then they get Maddox into the fold. Like, that's a really fun backcourt. It might be the year of the backcourts.
I don't hate it. Riley,
That
give us a
doesn't bode well. That
definitive.
doesn't bode well for my team or Greg's team, but Riley
Well,
should feel good about that.
Jeremy Fears, Jaden Akins, not bad. You got to zig when team zag card. That's what we're trying to do. Riley, give us the definitive ranking. Give us the top five backcourts.
Definitive ranking: one, Baylor; two, Iowa State; three, UNC; four, Purdue; five, Gonzaga.
I feel good about that. I feel really good about that. To our final topic today, Riley, what is it?
Yeah, final one. So y'all just heard my Homer takes about my team's backcourt. This one, we don't need a ton of time on this, but I just need someone to like hear me out on UNC's portal woes thus far. I just need to be in a safe space where I know that I'm comforted among friends.
You are in a
Of
safe space,
course.
Riley. You're amongst friends, of course. Please.
I'm just really bummed we
Shut
missed out on
up.
Cliff. I'm really sad that Cliff Amorier is not a Tar Heel, and I need to know, like, do I need to be this upset about it? Like, let's say Carolina lands Coleman Hawkins or Yugano Onyenzo. Are you like, okay, not, you know, not a bad way to rebound, because they went really hard after both Jonas Adu and Cliff Amorier, didn't get either. Had some talks with Aaron Bradshaw early on, but those fizzled out. Then on top of it, missed out on Adu Thiero after Hubert went out to Lexington to recruit him. And on one end, I'm like, yes, love Cade Tyson, love that addition, love that they got RJ for another year. Love that they kept the rest of their guys out of the portal, got Seth Trimble back, got Kadoda return. As a whole, 1 through 3, I feel really good about UNC. I think they're deep. I think they got guys who will fill a role. But yeah, it's just the 4 and the 5 right now. I need a sad boy hat. I need one of those 3 sad boy hats you got, Cart. Send it to Durham.
All right. In regards to losing out on Cliff, the losing out on Cliff part hurts, but it's the collection of losing that has happened to you. Like losing out on Cliff and Adu and Bradshaw, like you're losing out on just multiple centers at the centers. With that said, you know, having a backup plan, if you end up with nothing, then it's true sad boy hours. Then you're like, I understand that, you know, I'm not of the belief that like Jalen Washington's a starting level ACC guy for a really good team. I think he's a good, maybe backup big for a good ACC team. But who knows? He could just, dismay that take at any time. But like, if this ends with you getting Big U, like that's an okay consolation prize. It's not the best case scenario. If you end up with Coleman, then you're fine. I don't think missing out on Adu or any of those guys really matters that much. I think that you got a guy that's just as good as the guys that you mentioned before.
Who does Coleman next different things, though? That's the only thing with Coleman is like, we're listening. UNC needs a starting center. That's not Coleman. That's
true. Coleman wants.
I think if you put Coleman next, like I'm with you completely on Jalen Washington. I think he's a really good backup. It seems like the staff's plan by recruiting, like I think Cliff and Jalen Washington would have complemented each other really well, where you give Cliff those 25 to 30 minutes a game. You tell him he's in there to catch lobs and to block shots. And then when he's on the bench, you see what you have in Jalen Washington a little bit more in a 10 to 15 minute type of game to see if he improves defensively, to see if he can hold up better down low, like when going against bigger, more physical bigs, because he's really talented on offense. His synergy numbers, like for around the rim, like face up, et cetera, are all really, really good. But yeah, I'm at a point where I think he's a backup big for a really good team. But I do sort of think that playing next to a guy like Coleman, because Coleman is such a good help defender, that he could cover up a lot of Washington's issues, to where that wouldn't alarm me too much if he's next to a defensively minded, maybe that's even the wrong way to put it with Coleman, but a really high level defender at the 4.
Yeah, I think it could work. That's mostly because I think Coleman can work with anything. Like it's a credit to Coleman for how he changed his game and did different things than he'd been asked to do in the past for Illinois this season, when it became clear they weren't going to play a true center. Look, Coleman, I think even if we went back to the beginning of the portal cycle, let alone who's left now, Coleman would have been like a top 5 player you could get your hands on. So if you pull a rabbit out of hat and get him, it changes everything. I'd be a little skeptical you will, with all due respect, because to me, the story this offseason feels like front court player after front court player after front court player, where North Carolina leads and then they go to a different program. So I don't know what's up with that. I mean, it on paper, we just talked about it. They have a great backcourt. Kado's a pass first kid. RJ, by all accounts, is a good teammate, a fun guy to play with. So I'm having a hard time putting my finger on why these kids don't want to come get that role, Riley. Why do you think that is?
Dude, I have no idea. Like, there was a lot of rumors that UNC made a huge offer on the NIL front to Cliff as well. Like, there was some talk that it was the highest offer. Like, I don't know if Bama upped it or not. Like, again, this is not sourced. This is
Were you the $2 million offer? Because that was the rumor. The rumor was the $2 million offer.
I don't think so, no. I'd be very surprised if UNC was a $2 million offer. But I know it was good. I don't know why it keeps flaming out. Like, and I hear what you're saying. In an ideal world, if it was up to me, well, like in an ideal world, you could land on Onyenzo and Coleman and play them together. I don't think that's going to happen. That feels unrealistic. But on the same token, like eventually one of these front court players has to say yes. Like,
yeah,
there's
but
only
aren't
so
you, aren't
many...
you running out? It's basically Onyenso or bust now.
Yeah, Onyenso. Yeah, I mean they've been in some conversations with Van Allen Lubin from Vanderbilt.
Oh God.
And yeah, I
might need to get on that Brad Underwood train to head overseas. I don't know if Hubert has a passport or not. But
yeah.
To answer your question though, Riley, what's your first coach? What's the name of your coach? What's his first name?
I hate this bit.
it's a funny bit to me. Last thing I'll say about it. It is very, very strange to me that the bigs don't want to like come into a role with a really good UNC team with a steady guard and a National Player of the Year candidate. And like Greg said, a pass first point guard. It's hard to wrap your head around. What I will ask you to do though, Riley, while staying positive, is stop saying you lost Odutiero. Okay.
Stop. Yeah, that was a win. He's right. Also, you're just boys, I'm glad we agree so much. You guys say, "Oh, look at us. We always agree. It's the best." Greg's here to just disagree. Are we sure? Are we sure that like it's this shocking? Are we that sure it's this shocking that nobody seems to want to play with certain guys? Are we sure?
It's more shocking to me outside of the guy conversation that a big doesn't want to come play 30 minutes a game for North Carolina. That seems like a thing that at least one big would jump at.
Maybe. I hear it. I mean, but also like, okay, Adu. His choice was what? Do play that exact role for Arkansas or play that exact role for North Carolina?
I guess so, yeah.
Like, no, were you guys in on Norchad at all?
No, UNC didn't go after Norchad.
That one surprised. Like, I feel like, I don't know, a lot of these situations, I feel like you could argue are potentially just as win now with maybe more money. Like,
yeah.
Are y'all poor?
I guess that's... No, UNC is not poor.
Not poor.
Checking.
I don't know. Look, to say what I'm dancing around, I am stunned that the guards all decided to sign up for another year of playing together after the way the season ended with two of them on the bench and two of them's moms complaining publicly about it. I am stunned that Seth Trimble signed up for this again. I am stunned that, I mean, I'm not, Elliot Cadeau's offered the starting point guard role, but the season ended with those two on the bench next to each other and their families publicly upset at Hubert calling him out. And when one of them was on the court, he was left completely unguarded and was just missing a bunch of shots. So like, I'm just stunned. I'm stunned they signed up for that. And I don't think it's that crazy that if you're debating, like, should I go play with John L. Davis and Boogie Fland over this, I don't think it's that crazy that a big would choose other situations over playing with Elliot Cadeau and Seth Trimble and an RJ Davis, who, by the way, RJ is great and everybody loves him. He's going to shoot 37 times a game this year.
Okay, he's going to shoot like 15 to 20 times.
He's going to shoot 37 times a game this year based on how your current roster is. And that's not a bad thing because he takes good shots. But like, if I'm a starting level center and the money is the same and the offer is play with Elliot Cadeau and the guy who's going to be first team All-American and shoot 35 times a game for Hubert Davis, I don't think that's a top five situation on the board. And I think that's kind of playing out to be true right now.
I mean, John L. Davis is probably gonna gun just as much as RJ Davis.
And Boogie Fland is also shoot first, but
yeah, I'm not saying they're not, but
I see what you're saying. Your point makes sense to me though. It's not as we're making it seem a lot more enticing by throwing the come play with a pass first point guard when we're not addressing the fact that that pass first point guard doesn't have anybody on him as soon as he enters the arena.
Acting like North Carolina still has Cormac Ryan and Harrison Ingram. And the missing piece is Armando Bacot. And you just need a center and you're ready to win. I don't think that's true. And I like Cade Tyson. Mm-hmm. But I think there are multiple pieces missing right now to act like it's a center away from plug and play elite. This got more depressing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I think if you had thrown Kliff on this team and had him there to clean up any sort of defensive deficiencies from the perimeter guys, and you rolled out like Cadeau, RJ, Ian Jackson, and Cade as your 1 through 4 with Kliff there as just like the defensive anchor, I would have been pretty in on that as a top 5 team. On Onyenzo, not quite there. I still would like them to add someone who can play the four, just because you don't. I like Cade Tyson a lot, but he's still sort of unknown with how he'll translate up a level. So,
Yeah.
yeah, we'll see, man. I mean, they got 3 scholarships to play with and allegedly a lot of money to use. So, yeah, hopefully they can build, because you get a generational talent like RJ Davis, and yeah, I'm using the G word. You get him there for a 5th year, you got to get to the Final Four.
The G word, Carr? The G word with RJ?
G word's crazy. He hasn't even, you can't be using the G word if he hasn't, like, he hasn't, like, won any, like, accolades as, like, National Player of the Year or something like that. I think we've seen a lot of guards like RJ Davis.
Yeah, that's fair.
I will say this. I don't know where he's at in the draft. Are y'all going after Jameer Watkins?
I haven't heard anything about it now. I would
No.
love Jameer Watkins in Chapel Hill. I want that so
That'd be
badly.
a great pickup. There's still
But I
some wings
think,
out there I think y'all can
yeah.
tap into.
I just think Watkins is going to stay in the draft. I'd be
I mean,
pretty surprised if he withdrew. I think he's a first round pick. So
Cam Christie?
would love him too, but I think Cade Tyson took a spot.
Makes sense. Imagine not getting a transfer center. Like,
It sucks.
let alone two. I mean, tough.
All right, let's move on to one big thing.
One big thing presented by nobody. Today we have a joint one big thing presented by Riley and myself. As you all are well aware, if you're a regular listener of this show, Carter Elliott has a lying problem. He is a dishonest human being. Keyword dis. The two of us came together to send a little message to Carter. Carter, if you don't mind opening your text right now, I have sent you a link to a YouTube video to a song that we are affectionately referring to as Family Fatters.
Family Fatters is crazy. All right, let me see what we got here.
Never not did I expect. My uncle sleeper would need to get racked. This ain't his man's league, I got my tack. He knows what's next, time to go flex.
Pod, 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 pod. Do it every day. He's so late to the pod. Not even a dad, but he got a dad bod. Ooh, and he really, really thought that he could beat me. Yeah, he really, really thought that he could beat G. He must think that he's still off the bench in D3. He ain't gotta like it, but he better retweet. Oh no, we on the pot again, he's rambling. He a chicken, but I'll cook him till he's scrambling. When I'm done with him, this man will need an ambulance. Man, I wish his parents really named him Hamilton. Cart, the candle's lit, dinner's ready, dress up. Cart, I told you not to lie, but then you messed up. It's euphoria when I get you to fess up. It's our third season, you already dead, huh? What you said, huh? No, I really couldn't understand a single sentence that you ever said. Your vocabulary's got me thinking every single book you've ever seen is like a text from Meg. You left that shit unread. That went over your head. And that don't really happen much, cause you pretend you're really tall and you got a big head. Go put yourself to bed. But when you get in bed, your bed thinks that 2 sumo wrestlers both just got in bed. Man, all I see is red. When the people come to sleepers, really all they need is Greg. And when you go out to breakfast, really all you eat is eggs and bacon and sausage and waffles and 3 orders of bread and jam and yams and another order of eggs and a coffee and a Diet Coke, cause you're just trying to shed. And I'm begging, Carter, can you please just stop it? We're two Adonis, can you just be honest? Man, can't you just be honest? All these lies are not it. You need hooked on phonics. You need orthodontics. You need, man, you need, man, you need, man, you need to learn how to hit a lob wedge. All your irons, you just top it. Know it makes your pop sick. How you shoot 132 at the country club? Your pop's got a locker and he nice, you the opposite. You lag a putt to 12 feet, he be like, knock it in. You lose your drive, he hits you with, don't take a drop again. Boy, you want some John Rocker shit. Brave ass weirdo, but you confident. I guess I can't be knocking it. Why you lie? Can you not, kid? Wrote a whole diss track begging you to stop it. Told a whole Discord they're begging me to drop it. L to the Izzo Carter, you be on some WAP shit. WAP, 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 WAP. You the AJ Hogarth of the College Hoops Pods. Say that they don't know you when we know that you a flop. Ooh, and he really, really thought that he could.
Man, let me stop playing around. Take this serious.
That's crazy. Riley after the lighter flick.
It's bluffs. So many bids and they all skips. From the deep voice to the weather talk to the flipper slip to the breakfast. That ring light working reckless. Trying to make your me mug look like Prince instead of like Precious. Now I know that cut deep, but go get a facelift, homie. Cause I stack plates and you stack plates, but I ain't talking weight lift, homie. Gym tunes on IG, but you gon' need an IV if you work out with me. Cause I make hits, homie. How you flicking up at Planet Fit? 10 bucks a month, don't brand a shit. Do you really lift? Are you planning it? Do you handle biz? Are you Hamilton? Bacon and eggs or ham and grits? Whichever the case, you holding it. That grudge against your Uncle Jim? Yeah, I'm really sure you're still holding it. You gotta stop lying, too bold with the fibs. You think you Marshall Henderson? You're not the land shark from Ole Miss. You really men's league Moby Dick. How many? How many more? How many more mid-state centers do we gotta get? 31 in your basement with a tripod doing TikToks. Can barely even get a fit on. How you think you're gonna get a fit off? Gassing up your Marriott, stay thinking that is some rich talk. Stack up your paper, then come to me later. We can really do the Ritz talk. Sad boy, yeah, sad boy. Man, stop the cap. Know you're pissed off. Cause you're sitting here getting cooked by podcasting Nick Stouse. Once called me Playtech. Yeah, that was funny. You went off. But I'm more like Dale Bonner aiming at your head, coming with the kill shot. Magic Mike, you up next if you keep calling me a cornball. How many times do I have to teach y'all not to pray on my downfall? How many times it rim out for Coach Tell Cart dunk the ball? How many more Chips Ahoy? Is there any chance he gonna house them all? I can see it in your eyes, hiding something so obvious, saying da 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 da. As you're sifting through YouTube comments, my brother in Christ, why you look unresponsive? Would it really kill you to help G out with the content? Yep, you know Bluff's got the jokes. Whole reason people come to this show is for me. You know, I got the wit. I'm quick on my feet. Some might even say I am nimble. But I gotta let this beat ride for a little bit, because Drake raps for like 3 minutes and this is all I got. So take us home, G.
I'm sick because, like, I'm just so conflicted because this is like very fire, but it's also tearing me to shreds. It's very fire. Oh, I'm so scared for this verse change. This is when Drake is stupid.
Carter just opened his mouth. Someone go catch him, he's lying right now. He said they would sell to your state, but we wasn't buying what came from his mouth. That boy, he a liar for real. He only 6'5", but he says he's 6'7". It's really a stranger thing. He's just like his idol, they both like 11. If I were nicer, I'd send him to heaven. But I am the devil, so send him to hell. I told him he better not lie to Waddell. Then he lied to Waddell. I only need him when I see ingredients that sitting on top of the top of my shelf. He's always reaching, so I guess I'll teach him. I'll tie up this loser AI till he fell. Got him under my spell. Knocking him out and I don't hear a bell. Boot him from Zoom, tell him sell me Adele. When we were young, he was shaped like Adele. His coach sat him down on the bus. Told him that he was too hefty to play. Unless that was all just a lie, which honestly feels like a thing he would fake. A thing he would fake. Everything feels like a thing he would fake. Like how he just smiles and stays in denial when people acknowledge that Kendrick killed Drake. Or when he just goes on a regular walk and his neighbor's like, hey Carter, how was your day? Really, he's having a horrible day. But he's just a liar, so he says it's great. You probably noticed a lie, cause I said he goes on a regular walk, and he's never walked in his life. No, really this man should get lipo. All of his clothes are too tight, so he went to Target for triple XL, but they said they don't have his size. So he's only shopping online, Amazon Prime, he's got his account. We made him our finance VP, but truly I'm not really sure he can count. He gave me the sleeper's card, I bought some Allure, he said it was gross. I thought he was about to throw up, his face turned whiter than Casper the Ghost. And I am the host, he is the co, I am the show, he is the jokes, I'm on the throne, he is unknown, I am the goat, he hangs with incompetent folk, the type to ignore, the real for the hope, they might just be lazy and broke, and that's why their center was Mati Sissoko. Mati Sissoko, 2 whole years of Mati Sissoko, sounds like a diss but it's not even jokes, where did the money from Ishbia go? Ishbia is really the one, Carter and him got a whole lot in common, they're both unprepared for their sons, but one of them savings has 3 extra commas. Let's go to the comments. Let's read a couple and call it a day. This is from someone named Johnny the J. Why does Cart look like he lives in a cage? This is from Danny the King. He says, hey, Carter, you might want to skip the buffet. I didn't want to do this today, but you just kept lying and that's a mistake.
How to kill all mosquitoes in the area in just minutes.
I mean, the mosquitoes ad right after is insane.
Wow, fellas, that was really good. That was actually really good. Y'all are really rapping there. I will say that. Damn. That's all I got for that one. There were some bars in there, though. Y'all are really rapping. I would have enjoyed that a lot more if it wasn't about me. I'd say. That was fire. Good on you.
Do we think we learned any lessons here, Cart? Like, does this make you want to lie more or less?
To be honest with you, there's really the lines that hit the hardest were like the Michigan State one, like being called AJ Hogarth hurt. The Dale Bonner headshot one hurt a lot. The Sissoko one definitely hurt. I think I'm just gonna keep going about my life the way I should be going, and just I think I won.
You won the beef.
I think I won. Yeah.
Riley, how
felt,
do you...
you felt the need to click up in order to try to take me down, but you're not going to be able to do that. There's it's going to take something way more worse than that. And that's not a challenge. You please do not do that, because I feel like you could have achieved that, but it's going to take much worse than this.
Yeah,
but I will say y'all were rapping. Like, I'm glad I got that out of, like, yeah, Riley finally opened his mouth. Someone give him a Grammy. Like, that's good. I'm glad he's rapping again. That's amazing.
Hart says it's a 2v1, so we lose. Riley, how are you feeling? Any thoughts?
I might share my true feelings offline, but I just want to say this whole exercise spawned an idea from me and Greg to hit a recording studio for like a day and a half and see what comes out of it. So
it'd be magical. Can I come?
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
Sleepers EP is in the works. And I'm glad you think that's all that we have in store.
Huh?